Good morning. I do. I just want to take this opportunity to thank the elders for the opportunity to preach this morning. I do count that as an honor. I count that as a time to come together, to be under the Word together, to have God call us to change, for God to speak to our lives through His Word. And I, too, just want to go ahead and echo what has been said already by both Justin and John, that we do want to express our gratitude to God, our thankfulness for mothers in our lives. Regardless of how that's looked in our life, we're thankful to God for how He's worked through that. And as Christians, as a church, we seek to come alongside other believers to encourage, to exhort, to equip, to love them. And as I wonder, as we think on Mother's Day, How do we think we should go about encouraging and helping mothers today? I wonder if our mind goes directly to practical ways. You know, you could be offered parental advice by those who've been through the trenches. You could be offered a well-timed babysitter when you're ready to pull your hair out. You could be offered a coffee with a fellow mom who is there to encourage you. But I wonder if we are wrong to just think on those levels. Those are good things. But I wonder if we think about how do we pray for moms? How do we lift them up to the Lord? How do we come before God to pray for them? And do we pray for good practical things like that their babies will sleep through the night? Amen. Do that. We have another child on the way. Pray that babies sleep through the night. That's awesome. Do we pray that they'd establish a good routine? Do we pray that they'd have a healthy respect for their mom's and dad's authorities and that moms would be wise and exercise of that? Pray for that. Pray that they'd be faithful to preach the gospel to their kids. Pray those prayers. But if we just leave it at just those things, I think we're falling short of our duty to pray for other believers this morning. And as we look at our passage, I hope our passage kind of directs our thoughts of how do we think through praying for other believers? How do we think for praying for moms today? And I hope that as a result of this, that we'll be more faithful to what God has called us. That we will be more faithful to lift each other up in prayer. I know prayer is one of the top things that we struggle with. It's one of the hardest things for us as believers to have our minds wrapped around. And so this sermon is not going to be a guilt trip. It's not supposed to be a guilt trip. So don't hear me say, pray more, go home. That's not what I'm going to say. If you hear that, talk to me afterwards. I've totally missed the boat. Okay? And so what we want to look at, though, is why does God want us to pray? What does He want us to pray for? And so that's what we'll look at today. So if we have your Bibles there, we're going to be in the book of Ephesians. So if you're unfamiliar with the Bible, so you open your Bible about two-thirds of the way, you're probably going to land in a gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Then you go Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, you'll end up in Ephesians. So Ephesians chapter 3, and I'll go ahead and I'm going to read that, picking up in verse 14 to the end of the chapter. Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant to you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. God, we come before You this morning. God, we want to be instructed by Your Word. God, we want You to be the one that speaks to our lives, that controls how we think of our relationships with others, how we interact in this body that's called the church. Lord, we want you to set the agenda, and we want you to humble our hearts. So God, this morning, would you use this time in your word to draw us near to your heart for prayer, to draw us near to your heart for how we pray for other believers in our body. God, would you do the work in our heart through the Spirit, God. Lord, we are debtors to you alone. God, you have the power to do it. And God, we ask that you would. Amen. So we're jumping into the middle of the book of Ephesians here. So we're halfway through. We need to get a little context before we can really understand it well. So Ephesians is a book written by the Apostle Paul. So it's a letter written by the Apostle Paul to a local body of believers. Paul wrote this to a specific group of people, and he had just different things in mind he was trying to get across to them. So if we look in chapter 1, Paul is saying, blessed be God for choosing those believers in him before the foundation of the world, to the praise of God's glorious grace. To the praise of God's glorious grace, to the praise of God's glorious grace that he saved them. That's that first section of chapter 1. And 13 and 14 in chapter 1, you see, in him you also, when you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of your salvation. Praise be to God for his glorious grace that he sealed believers with the Holy Spirit. Then the second half of chapter 1 is a prayer, so we'll talk about that a little bit later. Chapter 2, he's talking about individual believers. He's saying, before you came to Christ, you were dead in sin. You were living a life conformed to the powers of the world. You were a child of wrath. You had no hope. You were without God in the world. But it says, but God, being rich in mercy, saved you. He made you alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved through faith. So, blessed be God who saved you. He did this by His grace. He made you alive. By grace you've been saved. And then if you were here in August, that next section I preached through last August, and we talked about God chose to bring Jews and Gentiles, those who were the Old Testament people of Israel and those who had no hope and without God in the world. He chose to bring them together through the gospel of Jesus Christ. We come to God the same way. We come through the gospel. We come through the same Spirit. God has chosen to bring the gospel, to bring people together who are unlike themselves to the praise of His glory. If you look at the end or the middle of chapter 3 there at the end, it says that He chose the church to do that. To bring, that's that mystery, that God would glorify himself in the church by bringing together people who are not like themselves. That's where we pick up today. We have this for this reason. So as good students of the Bible, we should think, what's this for this reason? Well, this reason is God has given you the Spirit and it's uniting you in one body. God has given us of his Holy Spirit who's indwelling our hearts, who's the guarantee of our inheritance with the saints. He's given us this Spirit. He's revealed this mystery. For this reason, Paul bows his knee before the Father. So Paul is praying because as believers, you have the Spirit. You have this inheritance. You have this hope, this sure and steadfast hope. So that's why this context is so important as we move on. He's thanking God for this. But if we look in chapter 3, verse 1, he's already said that, hasn't he? He said, for this reason, I, Paul. And so the rest of that chapter, between here and there, is kind of an aside. He kind of steps to the side and says, here's that mystery, and now I'm going to get back to my prayer. For this reason, I bow my knee before the Father. And then he goes into another aside before he gets into his prayer. He says, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named. So he's giving here a ground, a reason why I can pray. A reason why you can pray today is because God is the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. He is the Lord of all creation. He is the Father of all. And if we look in just this book of Ephesians, God as Father is all over the place. In chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But let's look at Ephesians 1, 14 again. He's given us the inheritance, who is the guarantee, He's given us the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. Who inherits? Family inherits. You have been made a child of God. He has given you an inheritance with God. God is Father to the believer. But in chapter 2, I think we'd be amiss if we didn't see that. As unbelievers, Paul says that people are children of wrath. Did we catch the contrast? Children of God, children of wrath, children of the world, children of God. There's this importance of the Spirit for us. Chapter 1:18, we have the same access through the Spirit. Excuse me, chapter 2. So the Spirit is the one who qualifies you to be a child of God. The Spirit in you. You are a child of God with the Spirit in you. So here, for this reason, Paul bows his knees before the Father because you're a child of God. He can pray for you. But in another sense, too, God is the Father of all, isn't he? He is the Lord of all creation. He created everything that was made. Apart from him was nothing made. God is the Father of all. So I think when we think of prayer, we need to have this grand picture of God. He's the Father of all. He's the Lord over everything. He is sovereign over everything. He is King over everything. We can go to him in prayer. And as believers, we can go to him in prayer knowing that his Spirit's in us. In that, because of that, we are a child of God in a different sense than you could say of just anybody. So for this reason, Paul prays. And I just want to take a moment here to say that maybe Mother's Day is not an easy holiday for you. Maybe you've come here and you've wanted to be a mother for a long time. You wanted to be a mom. You wanted to have kids. That's not happened. God's not blessed you there. Maybe you've wanted to be married, you wanted to have a family, and that's not happening. Maybe you've had miscarriages. Maybe you've had children who've turned their backs on you. Maybe motherhood has not been a sweet experience for you. And what I'm about to say is not going to make that experience all easy, breezy, fun. But take courage that God is the Father of all. Your family, your primary family unit is not your earthly family. Your primary family unit is not your earthly family. It is your eternal family today. Again, is that going to make it easy in those struggles and those sorrows? No, it's not. But look to God for your hope. Look to God for your fulfillment, for your joy. Look to God to be the one who is the Father of all, who cares for you, who's promised to provide every need. And cast your cares on him, because he cares for you. And that's it's a weighty, heavy thing. I'm not trying to make light of that. But if you come with that in your heart today, cast that to God. I don't know our stories. Let's move on now to the content then of what Paul prays for these believers. In your bulletin insert there, I think we see three things concretely that Paul prays for them. And first, it's an example to pray that God would strengthen believers through the fullness of His Spirit. So pray that God would strengthen believers through the fullness of His Spirit. And this strengthening from His, let's just read those two verses. I'm seeing that in 16 in the first half of 17. That according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. As believers here, Paul is not praying that they would receive the Spirit. That's an important thing to think about. He's not saying here, well, I'm praying you, Christian, receive the Spirit. No, that would contradict everything he's already said in chapter 1. Chapter 1, he said, you have the Spirit. You have the Spirit as the guarantee of your inheritance to the praise of God's glory. So he's not praying that they'd receive the Spirit. So what's he praying? He's praying that God would strengthen you through the Spirit. And I think if we look at Paul's first prayer in chapter 1, we can kind of get a better grasp on that. So let's look in chapter 1. I'm going to pick up in verse 15. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, and that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the work of His great might. So in chapter 1, Paul's praying what? That their eyes would be opened to this great hope to which they've been called. That their eyes would be enlightened. That they would understand this glorious inheritance. So I think similarly here, Paul's praying that you would understand the power of Spirit, the Spirit in your life. And pray that God would strengthen you through that. So he's not praying you receive it, but you'd be strengthened by it. But then it gets confusing, doesn't it? Because he says in 16 that you'd be strengthened with the power through His Spirit, which is in your inner being, so that Christ may then dwell in your hearts through faith. So wait, is the Spirit and Christ two different things? I just said, if you have the Holy Spirit, you're a Christian. We saw that in chapter 1. It's the guarantee of our inheritance. But here it says that you'd be strengthened with the Spirit, so that Christ would dwell in your hearts by faith. Are these things at odds? Are they different? What's going on? This is confusing. And let's go to Romans. We're going to go to Romans, and we're going to chapter 8. We won't flip around too much this morning, but I think this is foundational enough that we need to. Romans chapter 8. Paul again here speaking to believers. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Jesus, or Christ Jesus from the dead, will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. So you see there in 9 and 10, he's talking about the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, and then he's saying what? Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ. So I think these things are being used interchangeably here, aren't they? So let's go back to Ephesians, and how can we make sense of these two things being used interchangeably? So you'd be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. I think what we have to look at here is the fact that as believers we know, and we know as the Bible teaches, that we have remaining sin in our lives. We have times where we choose to glorify ourselves. We have times we choose to worship ourselves, the creation over Christ. But here Paul's praying that you'd be strengthened by the Spirit, that He would be more and more manifest in your life. That your life would more and more reflect the Spirit. That your life would more and more reflect the fruit of the Spirit, the joy of the Spirit. That that would happen. So Paul's praying that they should have the Spirit strengthen them. But he's praying that God would do that. That God would strengthen them through the Spirit. He wants them to act in faith to God and not of themselves. And again, I just want to go back and say, we are always worshiping something. Moment by moment, day by day, you have the choice to worship God and Christ and the gospel, or we have the choice to worship something else. We've been really able to camp out on that in our Bible class of how people change in the sanctuary here this last semester. We've looked at, I can choose to love God the most, or I can choose to love myself through my sin. We've seen that when I sin, I'm doing what I most love. I'm doing what I most want. I always have the choice to worship God or worship creation. It's a heart issue that's going on in my life. I can get anxious about money or the future because I'm worried about my kingdom, or I can rest in God because I'm worried about His kingdom. So this being Mother's Day, how should this inform our thinking of moms? We should pray that they be strengthened through the Spirit, shouldn't we? So I don't think we're too far off to think that praying for those things I talked about at the beginning are bad things. They're not bad things. But how much more so should we be praying that moms be strengthened through the Spirit and that Christ may dwell in their hearts through faith? That God would do a continued work in their hearts, that they may say yes to God and no to sin. We should pray that for moms. We should pray that for all moms. But can we pray that for all moms? We can't. Because this is a prayer for believers, ultimately. You can't pray that an unbeliever would be strengthened by power through the Spirit. The non-Christian, the one who has not trusted in the gospel, does not have that Spirit. He does not have that inheritance. So, friend, if you're here today and you're not trusting in that one true gospel, that God created man good, that man chose sin and chose to worship himself rather than the Creator, that God sent Christ to live a perfect life, to die on a cross, to make atonement for your sin, to pay that penalty, that you are called to have faith in Him, that you're supposed to cast all of your hope on Christ and His work. Back in Ephesians 2, but God makes you alive through faith, by grace. So it's the grace of God that you're called to this morning. So if you're here today and you're not trusting in that, talk to someone around you, talk to one of the elders that are here. Our prayer for you today is that your eyes would be open to this wondrous thing we call the gospel. But moms, this is your life, right? Your life, you're living an incredibly tough job that a lot of the times is not rewarding, at least on the outside. You change the 15th dirty diaper of the day. Your kids aren't obeying. Your spouse might be at work. What do you go to in those situations? And it goes back to, it's that remaining sin in our life. You go back to the gospel. You go back to a prayer for the Spirit to be strengthened, that God would strengthen you. How can you pray for moms? That's where you pray for them, that in those situations in life that aren't going to change, those kids that are going to throw this big, giant temper at the store that's just going to come out of nowhere and it's going to hit you, you have no control over it no matter how hard you try. You're not going to be able to pray for that not to happen because it's going to happen. But you can pray that God would be strengthening them in the Spirit for those situations, that they would respond in grace, that they would respond in faith to God in those situations. Husbands, I want to say a word to us. So we're supposed to pray for this work, this continued work of the Spirit in others' lives. But the Spirit is clear in the Bible. It doesn't just kind of work willy-nilly usually. The Spirit, almost always, as you look in the Bible, it's working through Jesus Christ, it's working through the Word, it's working through the church. So husbands, how do you work so that your wife may take advantage of the graces that she has available to her? But wait a second, I just said pray for strength through the power of the Spirit. How can I tell you to do something? Didn't I just say God's the one that strengthens through the Spirit? It's God's work, He makes you alive together in Christ. Pray for them to be strengthened in the Spirit. Now you do something. We do this all the time though, so don't fret. Pray that an unbeliever would come to a knowledge of saving faith in the gospel, but preach the gospel to them. Pray that a non-believer would come to faith in the gospel, but you preach the gospel to them. Pray that believers would be strengthened in the Spirit, but give them opportunities to take advantage of being strengthened by the Spirit. Maybe you're a mom of young children. You often have to miss the message on Sunday mornings. You're taking care of kids. That's what God's called you to do. But husbands, how are you providing your wife an ability to be under the Word then? Are you allowing them time to go back in the week to listen to the sermon undistractedly like you were on Sunday morning? That hits home for me too, so I'm not just kind of getting after you guys. But do you make it the ability for your spouse, for the moms in your life, to be able to take advantage of these things? Maybe there's a single mom in your life, same thing. Even harder in a lot of cases there, right? But are we taking advantage, are we letting them take advantage of God's gift of how He works through the Spirit? Are we making sure they're able to do the summer Bible studies that are coming up? Are we making sure they're able to have personal time studying Scripture? So pray that God would strengthen them through the Spirit, but give them opportunities to be strengthened by the Spirit. This brings us to the next thing the Apostle Paul prays. And he gives us the opportunity to do then. So pray that believers would be rooted and grounded in love so that they may see the fullness of the greatness of Christ. So that's the second half of 17 and 18. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. So Paul here says, if you're a believer, you are rooted, you are grounded in love. Back to Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. Paul wants us to remember, your root as a Christian, your foundation as a Christian is this gospel of Jesus Christ. That is His love for His church. If you go on in Ephesians, husbands and wives are exhorted about this love of Christ for the church. But His love of Christ for the church is displayed in His death on the cross. It's the gospel. So here He's saying, you are grounded in this gospel that is God's love. You are grounded, you are established in this gospel of God's love. Do you pray that other believers would be grounded, would continue to be grounded in this gospel of God's love? Do you pray, before we pray in a minute, something different, but do you pray that they're grounded in the love of God in Christ? Do you pray that God would reveal more to them by His Spirit, that God would continue to produce fruit in their life? That God would encourage them through His Word, through other believers, through the church? Pray as the Apostle Paul prayed that other believers would be grounded in the gospel. Because if we're not grounded in the gospel, we have nothing. There's no foundation for us. I'd be up here giving you the 10 best tricks to be a good mom. I would give you the newest fad and fashions. But those aren't going to work. And you don't want to hear about fashions from me. Thanks for some laughing. My wife does pick out my clothes most of the time. But pray for believers that they would be grounded in the gospel. That we don't graduate from that. That we remember God's love in Christ. That we can more and more comprehend that, as the Apostle Paul just prayed. That you would more and more comprehend the love of God in Christ. The last thing that the Apostle prays there in verse 19, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So now Paul says, pray that they be strengthened in the Spirit, pray that they be continued to be rooted in this gospel of love. But now he's taking it a step further and asks specifically that they would know this love of Christ so that they may be filled with the fullness of God. That they may know more and more this love of Christ. That their comprehension of this would continue to grow. That they would better understand God's love for them in Christ. Here Paul says that this love surpasses knowledge. So Paul's against knowledge. No. If you look in chapter 1, we've already read it, he's asking that God would give them the ability to comprehend these things, to understand these things. No, God's about knowledge. He wants you to understand things. He wants you to know things. But here he's saying that this knowledge is beyond you. We are man. We are not infinite. We are finite. We have limits. We can't sit here and say, who are we that God is mindful of us? We don't know. We don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve grace. We don't deserve the next breath we take. So working that out, we're not going to be able to reason or work that out in our minds. But here he says that you may know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. So we're supposed to endeavor to understand more, though. We're supposed to work to understand more of this love. You're never going to exhaust it. You're never going to figure it out. I am convinced that in heaven, you're never going to know the fullness of God. That more and more, that as we're in heaven, you're going to be revealed more and more of God, and you're just never going to be able to take the fullness of it. You're not going to become God when we get to heaven. I'm not going to become God. But pray that we would be more and more revealed this love of God in Christ that surpasses knowledge. Pray that we would grow in this. Pray that all of us would lead to them being filled with the fullness of God. So pray that this knowledge of God's love, this strengthening of the Spirit, would have feet in their life. We see that in the end of verse 19, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. What's this fullness of God? If we go on in chapter 4, I'm just going to read 4, starting in 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I'm standing up here as a sinner to a group of sinners. As a believer, your life is not categorized by sin anymore, but there's sin left. We see that daily. We see it in our thoughts. We see it in our actions. You'd be kidding yourself and blinding yourself if you don't see it. But we're called to something more. We're called to something greater in Christ. That this love of God in Christ, this love for the gospel, this love of the Spirit and His continued work in other believers' lives, this should have feet. This should have results. This knowledge of the Son of God should lead to a mature manhood to the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ. As 2 Corinthians says, your life should be transformed from one degree of glory to another to the image of the Son of God. And we're never going to get there now. But that doesn't mean we don't try. That doesn't mean we don't do as God's commanded. We pray this for other believers. So I want to exhort us today, do we spend more time comparing ourselves to others in the church? Do we spend more time by sharing prayer requests that are more gossip for others in the church? Do we spend more time thinking about those things than we do about uplifting other believers in prayer? This is the Apostle Paul here writing. He's the one that Christ revealed himself to him on the road to Damascus. This is the Apostle Paul who is caught up into the third heaven. This is the Apostle Paul who walked with Jesus. And he prays for them. We should pray for other believers. We should pray for moms. We should pray for each other. But don't hear this as a message of moralism of you should, you should, you shoulds. Again, I've missed the boat entirely if you hear me say you should, you should, you should. I think Paul's giving us an example here, but the power and strength aren't in you. The power and strength are not in me. Let's read verse 20. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundant than all that we ask or think, according to the power of at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So to God be the glory that he gives us the Spirit, that he unites this body here at Cornerstone together by his Spirit through his gospel. To God be the glory because it's his power, it's for his glory and praise. It's all about God, but he gives us the grace that way. If you look in 20, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. So this is, isn't this another ground? Isn't this another reason why we can pray? We started off this section by saying, God is the Father of all, from whom every family on earth is named. Pray because of this reason. Well, now in verse 20, pray because of this reason. That God is able to do far more abundantly than you could ever ask or think. Now, this does not mean, of course, that God's going to give you everything you ask for. That's another sermon for another time. Maybe Steve will change his topic for next week. Probably not. But God will do more than you could ever ask. God can and will do more than you could ever imagine. You can look back on your life and you can think of situations where you don't know how you got from A to B, but God got you there. You never would have planned it that way. You never would have chosen that path, but God got you there. He did more than you could imagine and think. Maybe that's in small things. That's not just big things. But pray to God because he can do far more than you ever imagine or think. Uplift moms in prayer because he can give them the grace, he can give them the strength through the Spirit that is far more abundant than any wise trick you can give them. God is infinite, we are finite. Pray to God for that strength. And he's going to do it according to the power at work within us through his Spirit. To God be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations. So as we leave here today, I hope we're encouraged that it's God's work. It's God's desire for the Spirit to increase in your life. But that we should pray. That we should equip others that they may be in the alley of God's grace. That we might be where God wants us to receive strengthening through his Spirit. But as we leave here today, what we remember, we're going to go on our way. We're going to go celebrate Mother's Day with family, or we're not going to. We have a day full of activities, or we have a day full of chasing children. We have a day full of preparing for work for next week. We have a day full of traveling. I don't know what you have a day full of. But let's have a day, let's have a week full of prayer for other believers that the Spirit would work in their lives. That God would strengthen our brothers and sisters in Christ through his Spirit. That God would bless the work of his Word in your life as you read. The ministry of other believers to your life. That God's Spirit would further increase in your life and that people may see Christ in you in increasing measure. So pray for that strength of the Spirit. Pray that we would be rooted and grounded in the gospel. Pray that we would be conformed more and more to the image of Christ. But how can I make sure I'm praying that for other people? I want to pray for other people. I think you have just easy tools available to you. Pray for those in your small group, whether that be a men's or women's group. Pray for those that are in your Bible class together with you. If you have a church directory, use that as a prayer directory. You have lists of names. You don't know what's going on in everyone's life. So you might not have an exact prayer request as we do for some in there, but you can pray what you're reading in Scripture. You can pray that they be strengthened in the Spirit. They may never know you prayed for them, but that's God's will for us, that we pray that for them. That we pray that they be strengthened through the Spirit, that God would work in our lives here. That's why we come together at church. We're a body of redeemed sinners. We need continued change. We need to be continued to be conformed to the image of his Son. God, by his grace, has chosen to use this church of imperfect people to come alongside each other to encourage us in the gospel. So pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ in this body. Pray these things. Let's pray. God, you are, God, more than we could ever imagine. God, you work through your Spirit, God, that we don't deserve. Lord, you have chosen your church to bring you glory, that those in the heavens would see your work of the gospel and give you glory. God, would we be sensitive to the Spirit? Would we pray for people that they would be strengthened in it? God, that we would be more and more conformed to the image of your Son. God, we're going to forget. We're not going to always lift up other believers. But God, would you cause us to do this? God, by your grace, would we endeavor to uplift other believers in our lives? God, it's your work through the Spirit, but you have called us to pray. God, you have called us to strengthen and encourage other believers in our lives. So may we be responsible to do what you've called us to. But God, may you get all the grace, all the glory for your grace, God. May you get all the praise for your glorious grace. To you be all honor and majesty, God. Would you be lifted high in our hearts? May our vision of you be expanded because of our time in your word. Amen.